Hello, friends. I'll make this quick. I'm dropping in because we don't have a new episode of Into the Time Knife this week. We got a little bit busy. Steven and I got to spend a few days together in Chicago going to see the I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson live show, which I'm sure we'll talk about a lot next week on the podcast when we're back to talk about the next episode of The Good Place. That's season 4, episode 10, You've Changed, Man. We're running out of episodes, so that's going to be a lot of fun. Make sure you're here next Monday. But in the meantime, I'm dropping in to give a free feed release because I'd never like to leave my compatriots empty-handed on a Monday. So for you people who I care about so much, I'm dropping a little free taste of our Patreon exclusive That 70s Show rewatch podcast, The Basement. I'm going to let you guys listen to one of the most outrageous episodes we've ever done of that show. It's one of many, I suppose, but this episode is a great example of why The Basement remains behind the paywall, because we get a little too crazy, a little too rambunctious over on The Basement. And this episode that I'm going to play for you, it's talking about season 1, episode 23 of That 70s Show. It's called Grandma's Dead. And weirdly enough, this episode about Eric accidentally killing his grandma while driving her home kind of fit with our conversation we had about the funeral to end all funerals a few weeks ago, and it allowed us to go a little bit further talking about our thoughts on life and death after recording that podcast. So we get real and weird about the concept of life and death in this episode of The Basement. If you like it, you can get every episode of The Basement over at patreon.com/can'tdisappointpodcast. We're starting at $5. You can get all episodes of The Basement and all of our exclusive Patreon content, and you can join the supporters of this little podcasting steamboat. I don't know. I'm recording this at 11 p.m. Deal with it. I want to shout out our $10 and up patrons real quick before I get out of here. Those people are Danny M. Lugo, Mary Baker Budisa, Justin Fortier, and Lil S. Haker, who is a wall away from me right now and who would probably like me to finish this so we can hang out. So I'm going to let you guys go. Enjoy this episode of The Basement, and we will be back next Monday to talk about You've Changed, Man. Have a great week. Goodbye.
You know, when I was a little boy, I hated peaches. And Mom knew that, so whenever she made a peach pie, she'd make a little blueberry pie. Special. Just for me. You know, she was the first one to call me Rhett. And the last time I saw her, I didn't say I love you. I didn't even say goodbye. I said, show me the taillights.
Dad, the last thing I said to her was, it wouldn't kill you to be nice. But I think it did, because she died.
That could only happen to you, son. It's okay.
I know.
I am your granddaddy. This is your granddaddy.
Hello, Wisconsin.
I am your granddaddy.
Hello, granddaddy. Do you have any fun little riffy bits about times that people have died that you'd like to get into as we start
off
the show?
Yeah, I've been to scads of funerals. My youngest memories are funerals. My two, like, earliest memories are funerals.
That's the saddest thing I have ever heard you say. Your youngest memories are funerals. Jesus.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
I was at a funeral, like, 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
Yeah, it was entertaining. It was fun. At one point, my uncle leaned over to my partner and said, hey, Danny, you having fun yet? Or like, are you having a fun time at the funeral?
And knowing Danny's disposition, I'm sure she had no clue what to say to that. Did
yeah,
she
was locked in time.
What'd she say?
I have no idea what her reaction was because I didn't even know what was happening.
What if she had said, yep.
Yep.
Where
well,
are
this
the
was shortly
crackers?
After.
Was it a snack funeral? Were there at least snacks?
There were mints, and I kept giving my... So mints. I have a great aunt who had, like, a few strokes fairly recently, and she's, like, in a wheelchair now, but...
Funny stuff.
What,
funny
something
story.
That I was using the whole day to keep her, like, distracted and, like, well-behaved, I kept giving her dum-dum suckers, and so there were an ample supply of suckers that I was handing her throughout the whole time.
What were they giving you to keep you well-behaved?
I had somebody rubbing my feet under the bleachers. Some old guy. I don't know. Michigan's real nice.
No, that was me. I was surprised I was let in. They just told me as long as I didn't show my face and stayed under the cloth, I was good.
You did have a cloth bag on, I was going to say. This is after that aunt got surprised by a family member and then threw mm-hmm. water in the air mid-pastor speaking in the funeral. It was a fun time.
It was a fun time. You're using words to describe funerals that I wouldn't expect. Fun,
I've
entertaining.
I've been to sad funerals, though.
That's good. You've been to a sad funeral.
Yeah, two really sad funerals.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Hey, if we want to one-up each other on sad funerals, we could be here all day.
Yeah. What's your saddest funeral, Zach, off the top of your head?
My
not just sad for you, objectively sad for the populace.
My 10-year-old nephew that died from
Ooh,
gun violence.
Yes, that's a pretty sad one.
Or 13. He was 13.
Slightly less sad, but still very sad.
That's pretty... If anything, that's more sad because they're like... This is dark. Just like starting to like really blossom yeah. into their personality and become a person. Very sad.
Yeah. I think you do beat mine. Mine was...
I knew I did. I knew probably this was a game I would win. That's the saddest one I've been to. I haven't actually
one
had
of my
to go
students,
to a lot of family funerals.
When I was teaching special ed, passed away. I had two pass away, but one funeral was more sad than the other, objectively.
Because you liked one person better or because you
no,
kind of saw
it
coming?
No, it was less expected.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This is dark.
I think you win.
Can I tell
Hello,
you something?
Hello, Wisconsin.
Awful. No, we'll cut yeah. to the theme song in a second. This is kind of funny, but not funny about the mm-hmm. specific funeral that I'm talking about. The way that I found out that that very young family
oh,
member
no.
died, I was in a play and I was at play practice. And my mother, bless her heart, she came to play practice. She was sitting with me while we were getting the notes. Something was clearly very wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom couldn't bring herself to say what had happened mm-hmm. or who it had happened to. So I kind of had to guess.
Not charades.
I was like, somebody died? And she's like, mm-hmm. And she was like, I was like, who? And she, mm-hmm. And so yeah, I have to guess. So, mm-hmm, let me think. Grandpa.
Yikes. So you didn't start to start
Johnny
naming
boy?
Off people?
Mm-hmm. Okay, who else is old? Grandma G. Willikers? Mm-hmm. How many guesses did it take?
Did you have to guess right, or did she eventually tell you?
I think once she realized that old, like, that I was just like, okay.
She's like, you're getting colder. You're like, Dad? She's like, no, no, no.
Well, we're all going to die one day, so let's have some fun.
Let's do it.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to The Basement. We got so dark pre-theme song talking about this episode because we're talking about season 1, episode 23, Grandma's Dead.
Grandma's Dead. Do you have both grandmas living, Zach?
Well, I actually grew up with three grandmothers. Because
That's progressive.
My mom's ex-mother-in-law from her first mm-hmm. marriage, who I am not related to and who did pass away last year.
I'm sorry.
I grew up as she's my grandma as much as anybody else was.
Mm-hmm.
But my two blood related grandmothers yeah. are still alive and getting very old.
Hmm. That's sweet though.
You have
though. That's
a,
cool.
just a grandmother left?
I just have a grandmother. But technically, I guess
they're still just hanging on there. All those grandmas we got just hanging on.
Yeah.
To what's left.
I've never met or heard anything about my
other grandma?
Parental grandmother.
She gone, or you don't know if she gone?
I have no idea. And then my stepdad's mom, I did meet her and have her in my life for a little bit. No idea if she's alive or not, but...
So you haven't really had to go through the grandparent death?
Something not grandmother. Grandfather, I lost my grandpa, but...
Something that's interesting one of each, so. To me, yeah, I'm in a weird time frame because my grandparents are all very old, and they're except for my grandmother who passed away, they're all still alive, and I've just felt like I'm so, this is bad to say, that I'm so like jaded to the concept of an old person dying that I feel like I've been living my life as if this is the last time I'll see them since I was like 16.
Wow. Yeah, I've started to feel that a lot more lately, and it's made me both kind of try and like cherish the time that I get more.
Absolutely,
like have a much
does.
Longer fuse with like forgetting things and telling the same story over and over again, things like that, because I'm trying to appreciate each time.
One day you'll wish you could hear, I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
About the time that red-haired white boy came to my open house and
to your funeral in a cloth bag,
yeah,
and started trying to rub people's feet, including your stroke victim, aunt. She did not like that.
Not a fan.
You were just throwing dum-dums at her when I tried to rub her feet. Yeah, snap out of it. Oh, we're talking about season one, episode 23, Grandma is Dead. This episode was directed, of course, by the great David Trainer. We're moving on past Boy Meets World on the Trainer train. To talk about the next show in his list of credits, David Trainer directed all 12 episodes of the fourth and final season of the John Larroquette Show. Do you know who that is? John Larroquette. I know the name, but I don't know what he looks like.
Okay, yeah. I want you to describe to me what you think John Larroquette looks like.
I feel like I'm confusing him, or maybe I'm not confusing him, and I'm right. And I mainly know him as like an older guy with white hair, like a friendly looking older guy with white hair that's guest starred in a lot of stuff.
You know what? I'm not going to take that away from you.
Please turn it towards me because I want to see if it is who I'm thinking of. Well, his face is whited out. I got to see old John Larroquette because that's like the 90s. That's not what I need. Just look up John Larroquette.
John Larroquette. Oh, shit!
I think it's the guy that I'm thinking of. Let me see his face, please.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking of. Right.
Yeah, that's John Larroquette for sure.
So, David Trainer directed all 12 episodes of the fourth and final season of the John Larroquette Show, which ran for 84 episodes from 1993 to 1996, starring John Larroquette as a recovering alcoholic who becomes the manager of a big city bus station.
What? Okay, I didn't know they had that.
David Trainer directs all 12 of the final season episodes, including, these are two episode titles that stood out to me, an episode called Bathing with Ernest Hemingway.
That's got to be messy.
And an episode called When Usel Learned to Yodel.
They were really short on ideas that last season, huh?
Usel.
Usel.
This episode was written by, get this writer's name, Arthur F. Montmorency. It looks like it should be Montgomery, but it's not. It's Montmorency.
Montmorency.
Arthur F. Montmorency is one of the writers on that
show. His parents really expected a lot of
this episode, Grandma's Dead. And he writes two more episodes. He writes the season finale in just two episodes' time, The Good Son. And he writes one more episode next season called Van Stock.
Oh.
And this episode. Okay. Grandma's Dead, originally aired
pretty
on
good
July
three episodes to have, I think.
12th, 1999.
Heyo, I had just ripely turned two.
So we're going to go back to young boy Steven, age of two, on July 12th, 1999, to talk about what the number one movie was. You definitely did not see this when you were two. I bet you've seen it now. It is one of the most iconic late 90s raunchy comedies.
Oh, raunchy comedies. Can you give me anything else? Any
spawned
stars?
Many sequels.
Oh.
Like 8 sequels plus.
Oh, shit. Okay, so it's not Dumb and Dumber. It's
no.
not Deuce
It'd
Bigelow.
Be earlier 90s. That's
it's
2000s.
It's not Austin Powers.
No.
It's not.
Teen comedy
oh,
like high
shit.
School.
Is this American Pie?
This is the original American Pie.
Wow, I like the first American Pie.
Yeah.
I like that.
The first one has merit. I'm sure there's tons of stuff in it that doesn't exactly hold up, but it's kind of fun.
Yeah. I watched it.
I would watch it again.
Within the last 8 years or so.
Time flies, doesn't it? It was probably like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
The number one movie was American Pie, the original. Let's talk about what people think of it. Going to the critics score on Rotten Tomatoes, I feel like that's some people reviewing it after the fact. Maybe it's some reviews that were written in the 90s. What do you think the critics of Rotten Tomatoes are thinking of American Pie?
I don't think it's going to be nearly as high as what I'm expecting the audience to be. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say 61.
You got it.
No way.
You did. You got it on your first guess.
I am the people.
You are the Rotten Tomato.
I am the Rotten Tomato.
61% from the critics on Rotten Tomatoes. You say you think the audience is going to be higher?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so what do you think the audience at Rotten Tomatoes says of American Pie?
73.
You know what's nuts to me?
Hmm.
It's the exact same as the critics score at 61%.
Really?
They are both sitting at 61%.
Interesting.
What about Letterboxd, the people's app, the young cool kids app? What do you think they're saying about American Pie out of 100%? Do you want to go 3 for 3, 61?
61.
Ooh, close but no cigar. Letterboxd is sitting at 62%.
No way.
So pretty much, I guess, everybody agrees on American Pie.
It is a crisp 6 out of 10.
I would rewatch American Pie.
Yeah.
Sure.
American Pie cast.
American Pie, The Naked Mile.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that.
Well, yeah, it was called Naked, and we were 10 when it came out.
Mm-hmm. American Wedding wasn't terrible.
American Reunion, I didn't think was terrible, but again, I was like 15 when it came out. So
sure.
I don't know. They probably are all terrible. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the number one album. I feel like the number one album is a fitting artist for the American Pie Week because they're just a real dude bro rock band that I am not a fan of.
Oh, it's not Foo Fighters.
No. Dude it's bro more in like dolls. What do you say? No. Different kind. Dude bro in a bad way, like in a worse way than that.
Worse than the Goo Goo Dolls?
Like, if somebody told me they like this artist, I think less of them.
Not Nickelback, not Slipknot. Can I get, like, a how rock? What kind of rock?
I'll give you the list. Okay, there are 4 singles on this artist album, and I'll give you from, like, most to least vague as hints. They have a song on this album called N2Gether Now. You can cash in another one whenever you want.
Yeah, give me the next. I didn't like that.
Rearranged.
See, the way you're reading them really makes me feel like they're
reading you as they're written out. Two words. Rearranged.
Okay, give me the next one.
Okay, now we're getting to ones that will give it away, which is fine. Our next single is Break Stuff.
Give me another one.
The last one. I thought maybe you'd know that one. Nookie. Yeah.
This
really, we're talking
Biscuit?
About Limp Bizkit.
Danny used to have a crush on Fred Durst, and I will never forgive
her. I think way less of her now.
Yeah, as you should. As you should.
The number one album this week was Significant Other. Significant Other by Limp Bizkit. I feel like as they've gotten older, they're kind of in on the joke that they're the worst band.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean anything. They suck. They suck hard.
Rolling.
They suck deep and hard and fast and bad. So let's talk about this album, Significant Other by Limp Bizkit, the number one album on July 12th, 1999. Yeah. We're going to start at the publication All Music. The score goes up to 5. Where are we sitting
on
Significant Other by Limp Bizkit? 1 from All Music.
Mm-hmm.
That's your guess?
Yeah.
I will tell you, it is significantly higher.
4?
Yeah, 4 out of 5 from All Music.
No, Limp Bizkit does not have an 8 in their discography.
Significant Other. Oh, well, let's move over to Rate Your Music. Do you think they're more humming your tune over there on the Letterboxd of music?
God, I
out of 5.
2.3.
It's higher.
3?
No, it's 2.75 on the dot.
Too high.
Half, 50%.
Too high.
5. 5 out of 10.
Yeah. Too high.
Well, now we're kind of bummed out because we're thinking about Limp Bizkit, but that time has come. I am handing the reins over to you, my friend.
from
you forgot why for a second, but you're caught up. Okay.
Here's the grandma.
I thought you said your grandma was still alive.
Here.
My grandma that died last year? Are you seriously the impersonating ghost, my dead grandma not right now?
The ghost of all grandmas, not just one. We all go into a collective hive.
We all die. We're all grandmas that die.
It's time for the basement breakdown.
Grandma, can I ask you one question while I've got you here on the air?
Yes.
Did you think I was gay?
Sweetie, you were in theater.
That's very presumptuous of you, Grandma. That's not why.
Name one straight theater guy.
Hugh Jackman. As far as we know, right?
No, he's
never
out now.
Never can tell. That's
he
not
got
true.
Divorced
I don't think that's
and
true.
Is out of the closet.
Is that really true?
Yes, he's got a divorce from his wife and is now out. Yes.
Huge act man himself?
Huge act man is officially gay.
Damn, so then no, that was the only one.
I love that you didn't know that and used him as the example.
What about, that is pretty funny. What about Daniel Radcliffe?
That man was naked with a horse.
Doing shit with a horse isn't gay.
It's not straight.
If doing shit with a horse was gay, we'd be having another conversation.
When I make my move.
You're British now? Are you Minnie Driver again?
Jane.
I know you don't listen to these, so I just have to tell you how funny on the listen it was. You going back into... You said something like, it went from... Oh, actually, she has less of a posh accent, less of a Cockney. I'm scrapping it. You know what? It's me. It's Steven. That's so funny. Well, sorry, Grandma. Go ahead. I was just telling you, Grandma, I don't think they have Patreon in hell where you've landed.
You have 20 seconds to tell me what happens in this week's episode. And if you're wrong...
I don't know why I'm Mrs. Doubtfire now.
If you're
a
wrong.
Lot of your impressions do kind of end up in Doubtfire territory, but we love you for it.
You know, I've never seen that movie. I've seen it once when I was younger.
I saw it when I was a kid. I would watch it one more time.
Sure. That's all it gets.
Hey, you have to recap the episode, and Grandma's going to take a little breath in of heaven smoke, and if I cough,
that shit'll fuck you up.
You get 5 seconds, and if I don't, you get nothing.
Was your grandma a singer?
Nope.
Good.
Are you ready?
Yeah, but there's a lot in this episode, honestly. So I'm going to do my best and hope that you're distracted enough to be satisfied.
I'm a long way away. Okay, 3, 2, 1, go!
Eric tells his grandma that it wouldn't kill her to be nice, and it does, and he has to break the news to his family, which sends them all on an emotional journey. Kitty fills the void with food, and Red fills the void by blaming it all on his emotional younger brother. Meanwhile, is there another plot? Fuck. At the funeral, everybody has their moment talking to Red, seeing the body in the casket, and in the end, Eric
Stop.
And Red have a...
Grandma Damn. Got strong-ass lungs.
I started really well.
You started stronger than Jesse Jackson on the Yankees.
I don't know. Old people like baseball, right?
Jesse Jackson, was he a footballer?
I think you had a great start, but then fumbled.
I did fumble. I did.
I would have liked lots of things that I didn't get.
Just so spit it out,
I'm
old lady.
Give you a C.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that's a completely fair grade. Thank you, Grandma. Just one more thing. Oh, she's
I
gone.
Forgive you.
Back to hell. Enjoy the beyond, Grandma.
If I were a ghost, I would absolutely say I forgive you to whoever I saw just to stress them out.
Steven,
have you ever watched that show, The Mentalist?
Okay. No.
There's an episode where... he was talking to
somebody
and he was like, she forgives you. And he's like, she forgives me. And that's how he got found out by a certain person. Cause he was like, hey, she was terrible to me.
I killed her.
Yeah. Trivia.
There's nothing better than one of those weekly procedural shows when it's about the 45-minute mark, so it's time for the criminal to just tell everybody that they did it. We're going to do some trivia. I have got four questions.
I've got three for you.
No, Grandma's gone. She's back in the abyss. What does Kelso need from the car?
That was one of my questions. His 8-track.
I'll give you another one. What does Kitty make for breakfast?
Okay, it was eggs and bacon and pancakes and chili and waffles.
Yes, do you remember how the eggs were prepared?
Scrambled? Looked like a fluffy scramble. What time did Eric come home?
Oh.
Yeah, I would fuck with that breakfast spread hard as hell.
Like the night his grandma died? Or the night of the bar?
The night of the bar.
11?
It was 2 a.m.
Whoa, that's a little late for a high school boy. Because Kitty says
it's 2 a.m., yeah. Where's Eric?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What are the sisters' names?
Sherry and Charlotte?
You got one of them.
Which one?
Charlotte. They both start with a sh.
Shelly.
No, but with a CH.
Chetsy.
Charlene.
Chetsy? Are you sure it's not Chetsy? C-H-E-T-S-E-Y.
What was it earlier? Euler. Usel learns to yodel. Charlotte and Charlene. Do you have any more?
I have one more for you. Okay. How many stops did the train set have?
That's my last question. It's five stops, five times the fun.
I agree. Love a good train set.
Said by one Reginald Albert Red Foreman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's trivia. Let's talk about this episode. I think this episode, even though I feel like everybody that watched this show at impressionable ages, like we did, mm-hmm. really anyone, remembers the scene of Eric telling his grandma it wouldn't kill her to be nice and she falls flat dead. Revisiting this episode, I think that chunk of the episode falls flat dead. There's just something about, I don't know, how lightly they treat the dead body of it all.
Oh, big time.
Whether it's Eric there or it's Red when she falls out of the car, looking into the window. I think they were just really sold on the idea of Eric saying it wouldn't kill you to be nice and she dies, mm-hmm. which is funny. But then when they actually tried to put it together, they're like, there's no way to do this and make it like make sense and not make it awkward.
Exactly.
But they were so into the idea of that being how they do it that they just went with it. And I don't think it's worth it. I don't think it pays off. I think it could have been. Well, I think what would have made more sense is if Eric says it wouldn't kill you to be nice, then she gets worked up in a huff telling him off, and then she dies.
And then dies.
Because I don't think anyone just boom from being fully alive.
I think it would have been funnier if instead of falling on Eric, she just fell back. So it almost looked more like she was joking.
Fell asleep.
Yeah. And then he's like, oh, shit. But yeah, that the grandma's death acting as a whole was a little bit questionable. And it's not all her fault. That was the way she was directed to do it.
Yeah, old Davy Trainee.
Yeah. This is no Lars Isaacson hour.
And I also, none of the jokes about Red's emotional brother are funny enough to make it feel varied enough for how much time it takes up in the episode. I think that character is kind of funny, but all of Red's jokes towards him take away from a really good Red episode in those moments. Agreed. And then I think at the funeral, to the end when they're at the home again, I think the episode takes a huge turn into becoming the most grounded emotional thing the show has done so far.
Absolutely. It's very interesting how this episode's kind of in three chunks and
because I didn't even mention the bar section, which I also think is kind of, I feel like we could have lost the bar stuff to build up some of the other stuff, maybe. I don't know.
I'm okay with it because it shows something this episode does very smartly is shows different ways that people handle grief. To kind of almost Red's point, sure, there's the five stages everyone goes through, but like this is how he went through it, this is how Kitty did it, this is how Eric went through it, which culminates in such a nice scene at the end with them together kind of hugging, which I feel like is very real and very relatable. And this episode, for as I'd say this episode probably had more cringes and more laughs for me than most of the episodes we've been covering lately.
Like, even if those episodes are more of each, you're saying more of each one. Cringes and more laughs. Sure.
Which, so they took more shots this week, and I like that.
Speaking of shots, the thing I liked about the bar scene is the way that Red says in the scene before at the table that his stages are what? I know the second one's drinking.
Anger and drinking.
I think it's kind of subtle and smart. I feel like Eric hears that.
And is like, and oh, then that's in the what I'm next gonna do scene, as a man.
He says, I need to get wasted because that's what you do when you're sad. Mm-hmm. I think that's really neat, kind of. I think having Red say something like that. Also, one of the most subtle, effective things, thinking of like they tell you it early in the episode and then it comes back. Show me taillights, Foreman. Really makes sense for Red, who's trying to get him out of there. Mm-hmm. And then in the end, when he says, the last thing I told my mom was show me taillights.
Absolutely.
I think that's one of the best 1-2 punches of writing in this show so far. We talked briefly before talking about the episode that if you look at the production order versus the air order of this season, this was like the 13th episode aired. Or sorry, the 13th episode made, but the 23rd episode aired. I wonder why they held it back so long. Do you think they thought it wasn't a very good episode?
Maybe they thought that it was good and they wanted it to hit harder at the end of the season, maybe.
That could be true. That's not a bad point. Something else I really like, it's really the funeral scene on where I think the episode takes over into something really special.
Mm-hmm.
I really like all of the moments of the kids one by one saying something to Red, because that's what you're supposed to do at a funeral. Mm-hmm. And some of them are like Jackie, who says the right thing, but says it in a really simple and naive way.
Yeah.
Or Kelso, who's trying to be a man. And he's like, pretty nice funeral, huh? Hey, he says to Red and then walks away. Then I think Hyde, his moment of I'm sorry about your mom and I'm sorry Kelso's an idiot, kind of shows that Red and Hyde have a little bit of a father-son connection, kind of, because it's a decent moment. And then Fez saying something that makes the emotional brother cry makes a lot of sense. The Fez would be the very spiritual, emotional look at you and say something true about what he says. Mothers live
the
on.
Love of mothers the love is carried of mothers. On. And that's a quote from something, but I don't remember what from. Like, I've heard that before, but the love of a mother is carried on in her sons or something like that, which is beautiful.
I also think maybe this episode would work a little bit better if we had ever had a moment of the grandma not being horrible. Every time we've seen her, she's been truly detestable.
Yeah.
But I like the angles of what happens when someone in the family that nobody really liked dies, and how it goes from, well, mom, you said she was a monster earlier. I never said such thing.
Never.
People are so, so like that. Or to see, I think another subtle thing is when Kitty finally breaks down at the end. It's kind of funny, but it shows how she's been keeping herself distracted because she has really complicated feelings about the death of this woman. And then when her distraction can't distract her anymore, it all falls out, leading to that nice family hug. I thought that was really, really lovely.
Yeah, 100%. Have you ever been to a funeral of somebody that you didn't know very well?
Yeah, but I don't make a habit of it out of an adult. This would have been when I was a kid and was kind of taken to ones by my mom. Because what is it with small town people and like a funeral of someone that you're 4 degrees of separation from is just like the thing to go do on a Sunday afternoon? That's miserable.
It's so weird, like going up to somebody who you barely know and then somebody 1 degree from them who's standing there at the viewing of the funeral, and you have to be like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Get up close, get a good look at that dead body.
Yeah, everyone come look at this. Maybe touch him on the chest and walk away. Are you a touch the body if it's family?
No.
Do you kiss, have you ever kissed a face?
No. Open casket funerals, I think, are just weird and I don't like it. I understand why and how it's a part of some people's process, but it is so much not a part of mine that I would rather not go.
This last funeral I was at was the first one in my life where there wasn't a body, and it was very interesting.
My grandma's funeral, they had the casket closed, and I'm very glad for that.
I've been to mostly open casket funeral. Well, open most for the viewing, I remember from and then you close it once the funeral starts.
I remember my nephew's was not open casket, but most of the ones I remember going to as a young person were open. And I don't know, it just I don't know. I don't really, it makes me think, I don't really want people gazing at me and
well,
making...
I'm gonna crawl. Well, Zach, here's the thing. You have to have open casket so that I can crawl
How
in
else
and
could
cause
you
a
get
scene.
In? Yeah. How could you
I'm
put the
throw myself on top
in my
of the
pocket
body.
Just in case? Yeah. You ask going to funerals of people if I don't know. To make it a little bit sad again, I have more the opposite problem as an adult where I've talked myself out of going to several funerals that I probably should have gone to. The whole thing is weird, and
I think
I just have
when
trouble
people
going.
Don't come to funerals, though. Funerals suck, and especially like they remind you of other funerals you've been to, and if that's not a place that you can handle going, don't go there.
Something about going to something like that feels kind of performative.
Sure, because the funeral's not for the dead person.
All of my weird feelings have nothing to do with however anybody else goes about it. But as a young adult, I've had a weird relationship with the idea. I just typically don't go to funerals.
Well,
I went to my grandma's.
Come to any of the ones I've invited you to.
Well, yeah, but it's just so weird that they're happening several times a week. They're all in different states, and they're all Facebook events. How are you finding these?
Hey. You know where to look.
This wasn't an episode that we had a lot to say about, was it? There were
no,
some really
good
moments, and it turns itself around a lot. So to open up one more like vague, let's talk about something. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about funerals question. Do you have any thoughts in your mind of how you would like to be handled when you die? What do you want your funeral to be like?
You know, I don't know that I necessarily want to be cremated, but I know I want to be an organ donor. Or I am an organ donor, and so if they need, like, my eyeballs and shit, take them. Yeah.
Go right for those eyeballs. Those,
in that
those pearly white balls.
Yeah. And I'm very strongly in belief in myself being an organ donor, even though I understand people not wanting to get cut up when they're done.
Do many people do that still? I feel like most people I know are organ donors.
Because you know young people. A lot of people, even young people I know, are very adamantly against it. It's
because they think they'll get different treatment in the hospital as an organ donor.
Some
when
people
that's just
that.
not the case at all.
Some of them, it's that they just literally don't want to get cut open.
I don't want them to cut me up when I die. Who cares?
Yeah. You're dead. Put me in a stew. Bang me. I don't care. But, you know, I would like to have more so in the Black community, we call it a celebration of life. I don't know if you guys do that in the white community, too, but we don't use the word funeral all the time.
I think white people like to say that it's going to be that, and then it's just the same as all the other funerals anyway.
I will say every Black funeral I've been to over the last several years, I have laughed more than at least in a comparable amount to crying.
My family doesn't laugh when we get together for good things.
Oh, that's too bad. Is it just a lot of standing around and nodding?
It's a lot of cards. It's a lot of playing cards. My family is the type that calls and all they have to talk about is tell you step by step every single thing that they've done that day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't care for
that. So much.
Mm-hmm.
I want my funeral to have music that I like.
Yeah.
And also my biggest concern, I know how fucking like brutally,
I'll get Billy Joe Armstrong to come and break a guitar.
How brutally expensive a funeral can be on a family.
Oh, they're so expensive.
And how it can be like, you're the one that has to pay for all of this. Sorry, bills due. And I just, I don't care what happens as long as my family can comfortably take care of it. I don't want them to do anything. I don't want anybody to have to go in debt over putting me in a box. If cremation is cheap, do it. If putting me in a box
cheaper
is cheaper, do it. I don't care. But I feel like the cremation thing, two things. I feel like telling someone what to do with your ashes is a little vain.
Yeah.
And I also think asking someone to carry your ashes with them through the rest of their life is also a little unfair to that person.
Yeah. Yeah, you can have it where they like pressurize them into like a fake diamond. It's like a dead guy diamond.
Yeah, but then someone still has to carry it around all the time.
I don't know. It like as a piercing. Like, get me in a belly button piercing.
If
like,
I'm
put
being
me
honest,
as an ashy diamond.
Let's
in
just get
into
the politics of how people handle death. I feel a little weird when someone. Well, this is bad because I'm speaking to my experience and how I emotionally developed and how I deal with these things. It does not compute with me when, like, a lost person is someone's, like, personality trait forever.
Yes, I agree.
That's a me thing, and maybe I am a little, like, jaded when it comes to stuff like that. But even having something cool like a diamond or something cool of having, like, if someone has a diamond like that, they're going to wear it every day. And I don't know if I need anybody thinking about how dead I am and how they wish I wasn't every day. Just, like, go live your life.
Yeah.
Throw me in the trash.
Unless it's me, mourn you daily, never move on, never take another lover.
If you're still alive when I die, I'm going to put a bunch of stuff that you don't want to happen in your name. You're going to get a knock on the door and it's going to be like a whole U-Haul full of me. And you're going to have to pretend
like
you're emotional and care about it. Mm-hmm. But you're going to know it's me giving one last fuck you from the grave. Do you have anything else you want to say about that?
Your entire will is just, I just hope Steven will continue making the podcast every week without me and making sure it gets out promptly at midnight on Mondays.
He would not. The moment I die, this ship goes down. But until I die, until I'm dead, you're We're stuck here. Tell me one more aside about the episode. I don't know. Let's segue back.
I like
the
thing with the train. I've seen families really bad about things when people pass on, which I don't like at all. But I think it's nice when something reminds you of someone that you don't have to have all the time. Like once a year, maybe around Christmas, that's when we take out the train. Like it was my grandpa's, we put around the Christmas tree. Like that's that cute. Sort of thing is a nice memory as opposed to like, don't get the fuck away from my train. It's my fucking train.
Or just this is a thing from my childhood that I kind of forgot about. And all of a sudden those memories flood in. I think it's smart for people. I don't know. You should have an idea of who your stuff is going to before you die.
I know
most people don't want to think about what's going to happen, but I feel like it solves a lot of heartache if just like it's decided before the person's gone that I think this person should get the train set.
I have a friend who's a lawyer that handles wills and like things like that. And I asked him, well, what's one thing that you've learned? And that he's like, no matter whether you have $1 or $1 million, everyone should have a will. It keeps a lot of issues from happening when you die. I leave my entire drug empire to Zachary Martavius. Zach, I have a confession. I'm going to tell you here. I should have mentioned it on a different podcast. Huh. So have I told you about black people not checking their mail?
No.
Well, black people don't check their mail because what's going to be in there? Bills? No.
It's not going to be anything good.
I checked my mail for the first time in months. It was fucking full of
stuff. And you got my Christmas card?
I got your Christmas card. It was so sweet. It's on my fridge now. It was
I like how you opened I got your Christmas card because you knew I was going to be like, it's March.
Yeah.
So you were like, you know how black people don't check their mail? I thought you were about to go into like a Chris Rock routine. That's very nice. I forget what I wrote, but I think it was something about
It was that you poisoned me and I had like an hour to find the antidote.
Yeah, and if you had opened it in time, you'd still be alive.
I'd still be alive and not a ghost grandma.
Yeah, that's how you know it's kind of a light 70s show episode for us to talk about when we're talking about mail and my Christmas card to you from 3 months ago.
Laughs and cringes.
I'm glad you got it. Let's do the laughs and cringes, starting with the cringe. I mean, obviously, the big cringe is, I think you've had enough fire water there, Chief, said to Fez in the bar. But I also wrote down Eric saying waitress at the bar,
that was my big
and then nobody like
bad.
Saying anything about it. And I also wrote down when Red opens the door and his mom falls out of the car and he's just like, oh drat. I thought that was cringy.
Yeah, I agree. The only other thing I had was just the grandma's death acting in general. Her falling on him was kind of nothing, and then the way when he slammed on the brakes that she like kind of still softly sat forward and tapped
because
her head.
She was very much alive and wasn't trying to hurt herself.
Yeah, didn't want to throw herself into the car. That was mine, along with the fire water and the waitress. That was terrible. Hated
Tell
that.
Me some of your laughs.
I did laugh, even though this was not great. Laugh at the grandma falling forward because it was so soft and slow. I thought that when Hyde came in and was like, oh, let's go get wasted. And it was like, oh, your grandma died? That was funny. I don't know why this made me laugh so hard. But when Marty was like, let him out, Eric, let out your feelings. And Eric was about to talk and Red goes, put him back in there, Eric. That was really funny. Let's see. Oh my God, there's a body in there. Fez walked up to the casket. That was good. Kelso just at the funeral in general, I thought was really funny.
Hey, great funeral we're having.
And then at the end, Eric telling Red what happened to the grandma and Red laughing at it. I thought that was all pretty funny.
I'm glad to come back to that moment. That moment is so nice. The way that Red is able to soften up sometimes when it's just him and Eric.
Yeah.
And the way that they're able to do it without making it feel not true to his character, it still feels right when Red is completely gruff and closed off to Eric. But these moments of softness are so nice.
And we got a couple in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was nice. You only mentioned one or two of my biggest laughs. I thought Kelso diving into the car and then learning it's a dead body in the beginning was the best part of that entire sequence. He was like, oh my God. And he's like stuck in the car and like shoots backwards out of it. It was really funny. I liked when Eric told his mom, you said grandma was a horrible woman. And she says, I never said any such thing. And Eric says, okay.
Okay.
And moves on. And what's the brother's name?
Marty.
For whatever reason, it made me chuckle enough to write down when Kitty brings out some Monte Cristo sandwiches.
Yeah.
And he says, oh, Kitty, groovy sandwiches. No red meat, right? I thought that was really funny for some reason. And that's all of mine. I also wrote, oh, my God, there's a body in there. After a funeral is a great time to smoke a little weed to relax a little bit. That being said, who most deserves the first hit this week?
You know, after walking into not only a church bathroom mid and after funeral, but also a nursing home bathroom after funeral and ripping the hell out of a weed pen, I fluctuate between three this week.
Sure.
And I want to explain the two I didn't pick.
Okay.
Honorable mention to Marty, because he's emotionally aware. He helped his brother, helped his nephew, and got to grieve his
grandmother. Their mom died and they're hating on him for crying. Of course he's crying.
Marty,
his mom died.
Honorable mention to Eric, who I strongly consider giving it to, not because he does such a great job this week, but because he witnessed
his grandma die.
Yeah, you need a
in
hit
his car.
After that.
Yeah,
but I ended up picking Red because I think Red's maturity and able to say to himself, there's a moment of brilliant acting in this episode when he breaks just a little bit when he says she was the first person to call me Red. And the way that his voice kind of quivers there.
His voice is, he's so good in that scene. Kurtwood Smith is such a pro, such a decide. Every move he makes, every moment of every episode is specific. And has motivation. And for him to let that break through when he knows he's playing a man that does not break very often, it makes your heart melt a little.
Yeah, I like almost cried watching it back just now. And I've seen this episode however many times, you know.
Even the little story about peach pie and his mom making him a special blueberry pie. Man, that is really sweet. And when you think about things like that after someone's gone, that twinge of happy past memory and sad because the finality of it being a past memory.
Yeah.
I think it really comes out well in that scene. For my first hit, if I was giving like an MVP answer, it would be Red. But to be different than you, I'm going to give it to Kitty just because she's got a lot of food to eat.
Oh, yeah. She's going to need the munchies hard for that.
Yeah, just for that.
That's great.
Well, I think we should end the episode with, as always, that 70s playlist with a specific Blue Oyster Cult song that, of course, plays during this episode. Why don't you cue it up for us?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, please make sure you lock your doors tight, turn on the light, and strap in for Blue Oyster Cult's Don't Fear the Reaper.
Thanks for hanging out with us in the basement this week. Goodbye, Wisconsin.
Goodbye, Wisconsin.
Shout out to my dead grandma. Take care of yourself down there in the abyss.
Seasons don't fear the reaper, nor do the wind, the sun, or the rain. Come on, baby, don't fear the reaper. Baby, take my